On this episode of Complicated Conversations, we welcome the warm, wonderful, amazing Hannah Brown. You might know Hannah as the star of ABC's The Bachelorette, or from her mirror ball trophy win on Dancing with the Stars, or more recently, her domination on Fox's Special Forces, World's Toughest Test, where she ended up being one of two women who completed the course and outlasted the other 16 contestants, most of whom were professional athletes. She is also the New York Times bestselling author of the memoir, God Bless This Mess. And now her first novel, Mistakes We Never Made, is out on May 7th. Welcome to Pop Fiction Women, Hannah.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So thrilled.
We are so excited and we have lots to discuss with the novel. But before we dive in, why don't you just give our listeners the elevator pitch for Mistakes We Never Made?
Why is this always so hard for me? I'm like,
because it is. It's so hard.
Not just you.
I'm just going to say that first. But yeah, so Mistakes We Never Made is about Emma Townsend, who kind of is this like typical type A, feels like she just has to be in control, helping everyone all the time. Like that's just her role in life. And her best friend is getting married and she is fulfilling all of her duties as a bridesmaid, maid of honor. But unfortunately, her friend has they have a mutual friend that is kind of like her enemy at this point, Finn, who they've had quite a complicated past, but she's all good. Everything's under control until their best friend, Sybil, goes missing right before the wedding. We have a runaway bride on our hands. And Finn, unfortunately, and literally, figuratively, all the things, has the keys to being able to help Emma make sure that her friend doesn't make the biggest mistake of her life. And so they go on a road trip to try to find the bride before the wedding. And in the meantime, will they, won't they rekindle? Will they?
Yeah. Should they?
Will they make a mistake? Should they?
Will Emma get good explanations? Yeah. What will we uncover? I loved this novel so much. I think when people think of TV personality, reality show victor, they don't always think of books. But yes. You have always been a reader and a lover of stories, starting from when you were young. And the dedication to this novel is to your mom, who would read you stories. Tell us about that love of reading.
I always loved reading growing up. I feel like it was my way to escape. I think I sometimes had like big emotions, didn't really understand them all, and kind of always felt like a lot of pressure as a young child. And I feel like I could always like escape in a book and really get lost in a world. And I was one of those people that I was extroverted because I felt like I had to be at certain times. But really, like when I was at home, I was in my room reading or playing with my dolls. Like I always had stories going on in my head, whether I was making them up or living through the stories of my books. So that started really young for me. But I remember my mom would always read to me at night, and that's why I dedicated the book to her, because I think she really helped like instill that love for me, because it was time that I got to spend with my mom too. Yeah. That was just for me and her, and that's what I really think made me love it from the beginning. And then, of course, I started being able to like read for myself and then really understand the impact of the way that books can resonate with me and how I can relate to characters. But it really started from just having that time with my mom.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah. And reading can make you more empathetic. It can also be an escape. It can help you realize things about yourself. I don't need to tell you the many benefits of reading, but we love that that's so clearly part of your story for such a long time.
Yes, absolutely. And that was one thing like for the book that was so important to me, is like what I really thought about before we even started, like what is it that makes me love a book? And it really is when I can see myself in a character and really feel like I'm learning something about myself through them, through what they're going through. And that's why it was really important for me, for Emma to have something that people could like hold on to and understand, and to watch her kind of go on the journey of her having those questions about herself, like, why am I this way? What has made me feel like I have to have so much control in my life, or feel like I have to be the one to save people from making bad decisions?
Be Sybil's rock. Yes.
Yeah. Like, why is that? And why do we sometimes feel that way in our own lives? So that was really important for me, because that's what has been such a big benefit for me in my reading journey. And I have learned so much about myself through different characters.
Yeah. And I feel like the next step connected to that is writing. And writers always start as readers. And you spoke openly about journaling as an exercise to get to know yourself on The Bachelor. And that turned into the clear-eyed and honest, authentic memoir of God Bless This Mess. What made you turn your hand to fiction?
Well, that was my first love, honestly. Like, I never could have imagined I would be able to write a book about my life, much less people wanting to actually read about my own life. Like, that wasn't, like, I didn't plan for all this stuff to happen in my life. But I remember being in the kitchen with my mom, probably in high school. I'm trying to remember the actual time. I think it was high school, maybe college, being like, I would really like to push myself one day. I was like, if it ever could happen, if I could ever finish it, write a book one day, like a novel. Wow. And I had an idea, which it's not this idea back then. Hey, maybe one day. Yeah. So this is kind of like the first like real dream that I ever had to like come true. I've had a lot of cool opportunities that I couldn't even dreamt up that have come true.
Right.
But this has been the first thing that was like a big dream that I had, you know, years and years ago to be able to come into fruition. So it's really exciting.
That is. And it's so good. It's so
Thank
good.
You.
So we want to talk a little bit more about Emma too. Kate and I can both relate to her, though kind of in different ways. I definitely have her like caretaking. I have to pull everything together. Kate is competitive. So we had so much to relate to in Emma. Tell us about your inspiration for her. Obviously, you borrowed bits from yourself, but she's not you. And how did you, you know, really make her different and distinct? How was that process?
Yeah, I think what I've realized in this process, everything has to be based in some truth in some way. And the truth that I know is my own story. And so how is Emma a part of me? And she is definitely a part. She is not me fully, but there's a part of me that feels that need to compete, to be the best, to prove myself in some way. I think Emma thinks she has a lot to prove because of her family situation, always feeling like she had to step up in some way. And I can really relate to that. And also relate to, I don't relate to it as, and it's interesting, like I don't relate to her as much now as I did like in my high school days. Like I feel like I was very much more like her in high school, more than a Sybil. And then like now I feel like I'm a little bit more of a Sybil. It's interesting. So she's a part of my life in a certain time where I felt I needed to be a certain way.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it was important for me, for her to have that story of figuring out how to let go of that and understand why, because that's been a part of my process is having to figure out why did I feel that need so much in the first place. And so she kind of goes through that. So that's a huge part of me. But yeah, like it's important to make the characters their own. So yeah, it was trying to like dream up, okay, if I was just this one part of myself and that was it, what would I be doing?
Right.
And that was kind of how I just built on to that with a lot of help with my co-author, Emily Larrabee, trying to really make sure that this was a full fledged out human being that we're writing about. And that it takes a lot. It's like, what, how would she want? What would she wear? I made like Pinterest boards of Emma, of what she would be wearing, what type of things would she be doing? What would she kind of look like? And I did that with all the characters so that it could be like, how can I see this person more clearly? And that was, it was a big process.
I love that. And I too have, I related a lot to Sybil as well. We won't go too much into that. And although I'll have a question at the end too, but I find like that parts of Emma to be like more my child self. And and then Sybil's like my teenager self. And that doesn't have to necessarily do with age. Like, cause I can be Sybil today. I'm not a teenager. Yeah. But I just find them to be different parts of myself, which I think is really fascinating.
Well, I think we all have different parts of ourselves. Yes. And like, that's like this core four. Each of them has a part of me in some way, or a part of me that I would like to tap into more or less.
Yeah.
And be able to like expand on if in that story, if I was more of that person, if I was less of this person, what would my life be like? And I think that's what I hope people also see and connect to. It doesn't mean they have to be just like Emma, but what is the part of her that resonates? And hopefully we can all find something.
Yes. So my 12-year-old daughter read this book as well.
Oh my gosh. She
absolutely loved this book.
That's so sweet.
And one of the big things she really loved was seeing this fierce, strong, but also lovable main character who deals with anxiety, which my daughter has been grappling with since the pandemic. And she really appreciated that the book wasn't about her anxiety. It was just a part of who Emma is.
Yeah.
And I'd love to hear your decision to do that, to include that.
Yeah. Like there's a part in the book where you really get to see her anxiety in full force. It's a physical manifestation of all the thoughts and feelings that she was having. But throughout the book, you can kind of feel that tension of anxiety throughout her decision making, why she feels she needs to do certain things. And that's anybody who struggles with anxiety, I think it can feel sometimes like it can be this, it's your identity, but it's not. Like it's the same thing as a part of you, and it's something that I struggle with for sure. And I see it pop up, and you can recognize it if you struggle with it within Emma of like, oh, like this is coming from a place of anxiety, not actually fully thought through or maybe overthought in some way.
Yeah.
That's, I think, a more real, just like Emma is a real, she's not a real person, but I want to be a real person and have real emotions and real feelings. And the reason I think it was able to, and I really appreciate that your daughter saw that, is like, I can really relate. And that was like almost easy to be able to put that in of how does somebody who kind of like struggles with that, what's the decision-making thought process like what are the same thoughts playing over and over in your head, and not for it to be like repetitive and annoying for the reader, but just to actually see like, and to understand the thought process Emma has as someone who can be a little more high stressed person. And so, I mean, I think especially the part of me that relates to Emma the most is that part that is the higher anxiety of part of me that feels that need to control to fix. And I think that all that is stemming from those feelings that are really just unresolved trauma or emotion. And when I say trauma, it doesn't have to be some big thing. Like Emma has a big thing with her dad that hasn't been resolved, but we all have something that somebody said to us or, you know, happened. We saw that we have to eventually get to the root to of, well, how does it manifest and show up in the way that we're making decisions? And that's part of Emma's story too.
And the thing about Emma for me was, she is this anxiety and the way it manifests itself is something that people really value, right? Because she does everything for everyone. Yeah. That person who with the list and the, here's the agenda, and we're, you know, it doesn't, we don't call that anxiety or trauma in life. For me, people call that successful and achieving and getting things done. And, but that's, I've learned over time. And this is the Emma's character helps with that. It's like that comes from something with her arc that we see why. But society and the world and her friends and coworkers say, that's great. Give me more of that. Look at that.
Rewards that.
Yeah. And that's actually been really hard for me because I feel like I'll say to anybody that's on that journey, like my anxiety, all the stuff I hadn't dealt with, made it to where I couldn't even be that Emma part of me anymore.
Yes.
And it was frustrating because that's the way I was successful in things. And I'm like, that's Bella. Now it's like I relate more to Sybil just being like, but maybe not really by choice. It's just, I'm just like that type of hot mess now. But I'm trying to find the balance. I can be both. I don't have to be extreme. Like, but it is so true. Like that is kind of that type of just living in tension and stress is rewarded because we're in such a high stress, high paced life. And it feels like you have to constantly feel that way to be able to survive it. And I don't think that's true. It's just a story that we all tell ourselves. And obviously Emma tells herself that this is just what she has to do, but
yes,
it's not. And we see that we see as we follow Emma's journey, that will she and how does she start releasing letting that? This. And when she releases that, what does she let in? Mm-hmm. And that's love. And
yes. Oh, I love that. So this novel felt like a kind of a twist on beloved tropes that we know, second chance love and enemies to lovers, but they're not enemies really. Yeah. And they were never really lovers. So they have a long history, as you've already said, punctuated by a bunch of almosts that have left Emma feeling kind of burned, but also still hot for Finn.
Yes.
So what attracted you to that starting point for them? That
I think because I've lived that, and I think more people have lived that too.
Yeah.
I feel like the trope of like literally hating somebody and then falling in love with them, like that's a far stretch. I don't like to read it sometimes, but that's a far stretch. Yeah. There has to be something. There is some type of history. And that was important to like, what were those moments that have led Emma to feel like, oh, I really liked this guy and I thought he really liked me, but he hurt me in the same way. And I'm really upset about that. And I don't know if I can fully get, and there's bitterness inside. Like that is what I have felt in the past. So I think that is where it came from because I'm sorry, if I really hate somebody, they're just not in my life. I'm not getting in a car with them.
Yeah.
If you're getting in a car with somebody on a road trip, there is some level, and my co-author and I, we went back and forth a lot of like, we would be writing. I'm like, that doesn't seem believable. Like there was a lot of that. I'm like, it has to be believable, or we need to make sure that like Emma kind of knows what she's saying and doing is not the same. And we need to make sure that's in there because Emma actually knows she still feels like it's hot for him. And we need that self-awareness in there. Like she's not just so upset when she like certain things happen. There's like a part of her that's like, ooh.
Yes.
Like, I hate that I love them. That is more the real. Yeah. That's where we use like those other tropes, like the forced proximity in some way to like make it to where you feel that tension and reason why maybe she would start to feel these ways. So it's kind of using
it is, but see, I always said that I hated enemies to lovers, and I realize now that that's not really true because it's sort of what you're saying. It's all about how it's done, and I do love rivals to lovers, and I feel like built into rivals is like a mutual respect, which they have, and like back from their debating team stuff. Yeah. Like she has a lot of respect for him. He is probably one of the only people that can go toe to toe with her, which I always love.
Totally.
But yeah, so you have these devices, these tropes that make it so original. But also, we haven't talked about the fact that she has to chase the runaway bride. Yes, but also the car enthusiast, the fact that he's got the Porsche and the road tripping aspect, which is forced proximity, but also is adding on just like the road trip, which is a great trope. So why'd you want to include these?
Honestly, because I was thinking really big. I was thinking of what this would look like on a screen too. That is what the road trip kind of came from. I was thinking of something like, you know, our romance version of The Hangover in some way. Just kind of like a little wild, but also makes sense. But yeah, like there's part of it that is like, you know, she's a really good friend. I mean, only Emma would get in a car and drive everywhere. It would be like that type of person, but that is not, that's not me. I'd be like, you're on your own at this point. But yeah, that was like,
well, because she's trying to control, like you said, she's trying to fix it. Like, oh no, this has to happen. She can't miss her wedding. There's a rehearsal. Like we gotta go. Like,
right.
And then being like, being able to be the one that's like, yeah, I was the one that made sure you didn't make a mistake. I think she has a little bit of that in her, you know, but as far as like some of those, the car, the stopping along the way, the different views, the places that they're at. I mean, it's thought of, you know, in hopes that this could be turned into a lot of different ventures and ideas and different ways for people to enjoy the story of Emma and Finn. I know every author like hopes that, but I wanted to really set it up in the, best way. Yeah.
It's fantastic. There is an amazing scene, very real and raw and unexpected, between Emma and her dad. And we won't go into too much of it, but afterwards, Emma and Finn have a conversation that I actually wanted to go on and on. I guess, first of all, because I'm a lawyer and an Aries, and debate is my love language, but also because we talk a lot about fate versus free will and, you know, can we choose who we love and what does it mean to choose? And can you choose to not love someone because you know it's not the right thing for you? Is that actually a choice? And then Finn says the best line, and let me just pull it up real quick. He says, "Sometimes, Emma, making the mistake is the best part about love." Tell me your thoughts on mistakes and love. Do mistakes mean it's wrong, or mistakes part of the journey?
Mistakes are definitely part of the journey, and they have been in my life. I think sometimes we think of a risk as a mistake when it's really like you have to risk for love. And in that risk, there's always room to be hurt, which can feel like a mistake at the time. But a lot of what happens in a hurt is, and how what you learn about yourself and how you grow is really just part of the journey. And it can sometimes be the best part of the experience of love, is being able to just risk it all, even when you know it could end up as a mistake. In some way, I guess, mistake, or not the way that you intended it to go. I think that's the best part about falling in love, yes. You know, is that like, is me giving my heart right now going to be a mistake, or is this going to be the best thing that I've ever done?
Yeah.
That's the coolest feeling.
That kind of hindsight, though, just, I think it just proves it can't be wrong, because if you're taking the risk, yes, it can.
Yeah.
If taking a risk can go really well and then you're applauded for it, then the result of it not going well, you should be applauded for taking that leap of faith, right?
Yes. Yeah. So it's never really a mistake either way. Yeah,
this is sound logic. I'm telling you, debaters, that is sound. No, it is. That's exactly right.
Yeah. We always talk about astrology on this podcast every single episode.
That.
Yes.
Okay.
And I know, because you're a Libra.
Yes.
Do you relate to being a Libra?
I do relate to being a Libra, as far as like really enjoying beauty and really having a hard time like making decisions,
because you're weighing everything.
Yeah, I weigh everything. My friend actually, two of my friends just sent me this TikTok, and I was laughing so hard. And they were like, "It's really easy to pick who Hannah was. It was a friend when you're trying to convince your third friend to go on the vacation, and they like, I am always the person weighing out. Okay. But if this happens, if I say yes to this, that means that this and this is going to happen. And where are we going to be?" Like, I question everything.
Yeah.
But I also like rising is what people see of me.
How
right?
you present. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
It's Scorpio. But my moon is a Taurus.
Oh.
And I really like that makes so much sense.
Yes.
It's so complicated and effed up. No wonder I messed up. But this makes all the sense in the world when I have those two layers, I think, of me being a Libra, and why I can sometimes feel stuck and sometimes question like who I really am, because there's lots of parts of me that are like, very in opposition.
Yes,
very much.
And then that Libra being like really who I am, it's like, I'm always weighing out being the Sybil in my life, like a little bit more fiery, you know,
the Scorpio,
and being like the creature of habit, a little bit stubborn, a little bit more like home body part. Yeah. Like, I'm all the things. And but my fiance he's not a triple tour, he's like a Taurus, and then something else. So like,
that's a good match.
It is a good, it's a good match because I can, that allows me to be my true self, like how I see myself.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, I love all that stuff. He is the biggest, like he is a Taurus. He is it all.
Yeah. Yes.
You're like, which is annoying sometimes, but
stubborn.
Also,
right.
Yeah. Also great.
Right. Oh, I love that.
What are you guys?
I'm an Aries, but I have Capricorn moon. Capricorn is so disciplined and structured, and Aries is like, let's just do everything. And so I'm always at war, but I'm not at war anymore. I'm just, these are the parts of myself.
Right?
I can allow for that contradiction.
Yes. You know, my best friend and my brother have the same birthday, April 15th, and they're both Aries. And I'm like, they are Aries. Like,
same. I'm also Aries rising, so I present that way, and I am that way, and it's all over my chart.
So fun.
Sure. Yes.
So fun. She's the one, okay, she's the one that sent me the reel, being like, we're going to Europe.
Oh, that makes...
she's going to go to Europe. Yeah.
That, okay, that's very Aries, by the way. Yeah. Very Aries. I have to leave with the question, are we going to get Sybil's story? I need more Sybil.
Yes. That was, well, I'll say...
Okay.
That there is a book two that we're working on.
Oh, yeah.
And as you read the book, there is a character that I feel like people really want more of.
Okay.
And we will explore that. But the goal is to be able to explore all the core four.
Yay. Oh, good. Yes.
But yeah, there is a little bit, like I've seen a lot of people who have read it and they're like, what happens at the end?
Yes.
And there is a book too, so I'm excited about that.
Good. Yeah, well, what happens at the end? But also, I just want more of her. I'm so fascinated by her. And I loved seeing her through Emma's eyes. Loved that. But now I think I needed that before I saw her. But now I want to see her story so badly.
Yeah.
So, okay, good. Good. Well, Hannah, thank you so much for joining us. This was so wonderful. I truly loved this book. And
that means so much to me.
And thank you so much for joining us to chat about it.
Thank you so much. You'll have a great rest of your day. And thanks for having me on.
You too.